We finally made it. We finally finished the year 2020. We finally made it to 2021. It's just begun. It's full of hopes and dreams. And it will have its ups and downs. But I have to say that 2020 was a year full of worries and troubles and distractions. And at some point, after the 6-month mark, when things were really piling up, I actually wondered, why did Jesus say, do not worry? Why would Jesus say that? We've got a worldwide pandemic, social unrest, rioting, fires, a totally messed up election. And along with all the other tragedies that took place during the year. And I'm wondering to myself, why would Jesus say, do not worry? What does Jesus know that we don't? To say such a thing, do not worry. Well, we're approaching a new year, and let's begin this year with a new perspective. Maybe we can approach this year differently than last. I want to turn your attention to Luke chapter 10, and let's look at the burden of worry. And we see this in example in the ministry of Jesus in Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 38. Now it happened as they went, he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. When we look at this example, we see that Martha is distracted. We know that Martha is a good person, and we know that she loves the Lord. We know she wants to serve the Lord. But even good people can be distracted by many things. It's possible that there's others in the house as well. Jesus' disciples, you know, it's possible that Martha's feeling overwhelmed, and with all that she's trying to accomplish, maybe she wants everything in the house to be perfect for Jesus. And maybe she wants to listen as well. And if Mary would just help, they could both listen to Jesus. But as it is, Mary's not helping. And so Martha's stuck in the kitchen without any help. And she's bothered by it. She's actually upset. This is the burden of worry. Worry actually causes cognitive distortions. It affects our thinking. And notice how it affects our thinking, that God doesn't care. Did you notice what Martha said to Jesus? Do you not care that my sister's not helping me? She actually said that to Jesus. Somewhat of a mild rebuke. Don't you care what I'm stuck here doing? Yeah, worry does that. It actually causes us to think that God doesn't care. That's a cognitive distortion. It makes us think that life is not fair. She's sitting, my sister's at the feet of Jesus while I'm doing all the work. It makes us feel alone. No one's helping me. I have to do this all by myself. And worry distracts us from what is really important. And it turns everything into drudgery. And it actually causes our will to run dry. And what happens is we get frustrated. We get exhausted. We become defeated and discouraged. That's what worry does. It's a burden. Corrie ten Boom said, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. But remember, Martha's real problem wasn't Mary. It was Martha. She had become distracted and taken her eyes off of Jesus. And listen, we know there's a lot of cranky Christians who become irritable in their service for the Lord. They become resentful of others when they compare what they're doing and criticize those who don't seem to be doing as much, and they get frustrated. They get exhausted. They get defeated. They get discouraged. They get cranky. One person said that Martha's frustration is typical of those who diligently serve with good intentions, but forget to also sit at Jesus' feet. This is where Martha's at, unfortunately. Now, her sister Mary, while Martha is distracted, her sister Mary is devoted. Mary chose to sit at the feet of Jesus and learn from him. Verse 39, and she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So Mary is more concerned about being a good disciple than being a good hostess. And she put her priorities on learning from Jesus. She chose the one thing that is eternal rather than temporary. Remember, Jesus said, whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. This is what happens when we choose Christ over everything else. A fount of living water that springs up from the heart into everlasting life. And so when we read the account, Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. What was the one thing? Jesus said, one thing is needed. In the New American Standard, only one thing is necessary. What was the one thing? James Burton Kaufman said it this way to answer that question. The one thing needful. This can be nothing except hearing the word of the Lord. That is what Mary was doing. And it was the thing which Jesus refused to interrupt on behalf of lesser human obligation. The application is timeless. Whatever the duties of men, whether real or imagined, whether lesser or greater, the one great obligation of all who were ever born is that they shall heed the word of the Son of God. Much of the failure of modern Christianity lies in the fact that Christians are busy with all kinds of things, many of them important and necessary, of course, but yet they have no time for the word of the Lord. That was the one thing necessary. So Jesus gives us a principle for life. There's one thing that is necessary. And as Christians, we have many proper responsibilities as parents, as husbands, as wives, as employers, employees, as citizens, as good neighbors. But sometimes we let the urgent things push out the important things. We get busy and distracted with good things, and we neglect the better things. We end up being driven by a clock rather than guided by a compass, when really we needed to be guided by a compass rather than driven by a clock. But when we become distracted, even by things that are good, we will find ourselves like Martha. We get worried, we get troubled, we get stressed out. We need to put first things first. Which brings us to the question, why did Jesus say, do not worry? In Matthew chapter 6, we find Jesus saying this. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 25. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I remember thinking, what does Jesus know that we don't? To say, stop worrying, don't worry. Well, he says, stop worrying and start seeking. That's what he says. Stop worrying and start seeking God first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, these other lesser things, God will take care of. Now, we want to do it just the opposite. We want to stress out and try to do everything ourselves and put God last. And Jesus is saying, if you put God first, all these other things are going to get taken care of. Putting God first is the secret. It's the one thing that changes everything. It's the one thing that brings true joy. Psalm 16:11, you will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. It's the secret to answered prayers. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. It's the secret to peace. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. It's the secret to spiritual replenishment. Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Instead of your well going dry, out of your heart will flow rivers of living water when you put God first. It's the secret for eternal life. And this is eternal life, Jesus said, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Jesus said that in prayer to the Father. Putting God first is the secret for grace. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is, of course, written to Christians who've already been born again, baptized, buried with him in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life, who now have forgiveness of sins. They now have access to this grace. All when we put God first, when we walk in the light. And of course, the choice is ours. Notice in chapter 10:42, Jesus said, Mary has chosen that good part. It's a choice. It's a choice every person has to make. It's the choice that Mary made. And so we really see three approaches to life. Some will choose to live this year distracted, like Martha. You know, we tend to prioritize in terms of things I must do, things I should do, and then things I want to do. And the must do, you know, has to do with paying bills and the things I should do. God sort of gets put there. God usually gets stuck in category number two, things I should do, like exercise. I should exercise, or I should read my Bible, or I should go to Bible study, or I should worship God on Sunday. I shoulda, woulda, coulda put God in his rightful place. But instead, I put God on the back shelf, and he gets stuck somewhere in the should category. That's the approach some will take. And choosing this approach to life really is to live life the hard way. Because you won't have God's help in time of need. And in time, you'll become worried, discouraged, depressed, stressed out, because it's all on you. Everything's on you, on your limited strength. Because you're not letting God help. You've stuck God in some other category. So some will approach this year distracted. Some will choose to live devoted, like Mary, to choose the one thing that changes everything, to prioritize God as first and most important, to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And when we do that, God takes care of the rest. He will help you in time of need. He will replenish your soul with living water. He will renew your strength like eagle's wings. He will lift you up when you fall. And life becomes beautiful again. And then there's a third category in which people will live this year. Some will live in denial. They won't just be distracted. They'll be distracted, but they won't be devoted or distracted. They'll just be in denial. Like the rich young ruler asked Jesus, "What should I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Keep the commandments." And the young man said, "I've done all that since my youth." Well, he was in denial, you know, as if he earned it. And Jesus said, "One thing you lack. One thing." That's not bad to only lack one thing. It's just that he lacked the most important thing. Sell all you have, give to the poor, take up your cross and follow me, and you will have eternal life. That's the one thing. Taking up our cross and following Christ. Paul said, "One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." That's the one thing. I want you to know, though, that Martha did learn from Jesus, and she did have the opportunity to serve again. Because Martha and Mary were different. They both wanted to serve the Lord, but in different ways. And Martha got to serve again at a very special occasion. Then 6 days before the Passover, John chapter 12, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead, there they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Martha was able to serve Jesus again, but this time without distraction, free from worry, with no rebuke from the Lord. And this is what we can learn for this new year: to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and God will take care of everything that we need. And now we know why Jesus says, "Do not worry." It won't add a single hour to your lifespan. Dale Carnegie said, "Remember, today is the tomorrow you worried about yesterday." And isn't that the truth? You don't have to worry. God's in control. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things, these lesser things, God will provide. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Let's take time this year to not be distracted by the chaos and to spend time at the feet of Jesus, listening to the Word of God in Scripture, and spend time with him in prayer. And we will have a blessed year. May God bless you as you walk with him.